This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Verano. He is the CEO of a company called DSG. That is David, DSG. You can get more information from them at a company at dsg-us.com. And today we're going to talk about best practices for data collection and clinical trials and all these activities that many of my listeners participate in and do actively. And they're looking for insight and maybe guidance and best practices and how to improve and how to change and what other companies have done to accomplish some of these difficult tasks. But before we begin, Tony, give us a little bit about your background and tell us how, about your company and maybe why federal listeners should be interested in what you folks do.
Okay. Thank you so much, John, for having us today. DSG, it's basically our company provides software and services to the to support clinical trials. And as we know, clinical trials is all about the data collection for us in any case. Our customers are most concerned about, obviously, getting the clinical data to the FDA, and they're the pharmaceutical companies, they're the biotechs and medical device companies. So basically, we deal with any company out there involved or in a process of getting a drug or device approved through the FDA. So that's basically what our company does. Now, my background, I'm a former Marine, spent 4 years in the Marines, a few of those years in Hawaii.
Well, that's grueling,
still,
huh?
Still counts. And then after the Marines, I did the GI Bill. I spent 3.5 years in college, and I got 2 degrees in math and computer science. So I have a love for technology. After that, I spent a number of years at Unisys doing programming, doing application design and development. And then I had this idea and dream. Basically, I always had the American dream, but I acted on it. And I had a solution that I thought the pharmaceutical companies might need, and so I created my own company, and that was 21 years ago.
Wow. And rode through some tough times and still on your feet, huh?
Yeah. Well, things change constantly, and you have to change and innovate. And it's sort of like a roller coaster. You get on that ride, and it's really hard to get off, and you stay on, and you just work really hard. And take a lot of risk, which I've always done. No choice if you want to stay in business and continually innovate. So my love is technology. Yeah. I mean, that's what drives me. And you learn what the customers want, and then you innovate.
I was flashing back to 1992. That's when they were debating whether or not you should get a 286 or a 386. Remember those debates back from all those years ago? And now 700 million smartphones were sold last year. What a change, huh?
It's huge. I mean, the amount of, I guess, processing power in a smartphone is probably what NASA had 30 years ago or 25 years ago. I mean, completely. I mean, all of NASA probably in one smartphone. It's just amazing where technology has gone. And it's also amazing where technology is going.
Yeah. Now, your company's experience is in life sciences and clinical trials, and you may think that's really targeted and focused, but if you look at the federal government, many of my listeners, in fact, some of the people in the commercial world who are listening, they're in the business of collecting data and analyzing that data and making a decision on that data, whether it complies with FDA specifications or not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just did an interview with the folks from the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Well, guess what they do? They have 4 offices in the country, and they go out to nuclear facilities and do inspections. And guess what they do? They collect data. And so I think many of my federal listeners do exactly what you're proficient in, and they're always looking for best practices and new innovations and how to do it better and how to innovate and how to keep up with technology. I think that's one of the reasons want to get you in the studio to maybe tap your brain and say, well, geez, no, this is a pretty good idea in 1998, 99. Things kind of change. You got to move to the web. People are going away from paper into electronic ways to do it, and now changing to maybe cloud-based options. And that's why I want to maybe tap your brain. And maybe some of our listeners can take an hour and listen to this interview and maybe walk away with one bit of advice. You know, if they get one bit of advice, then we win.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope I can offer some good advice. In our business, as in probably their businesses, our data is so crucial to the FDA. And it's all about collecting the right data, getting the right validation, and in a secure environment, and then, getting that to our servers, and then pulling that data out of those servers for reporting back to the FDA. I'm sure everybody out there listening has always done data collection and data entry, and that's been on local networks. And the big challenge for us with the internet was obviously the wide area network, as we call the internet. And taking that approach and take it to the internet, there are a lot of different challenges. And I would say the most important challenge for us is not only the security. I mean, there has to be a framework and guidelines like the FDA provides in terms of what we should follow, what sort of encryption we should have. And that's absolutely critical. I mean, you cannot collect data for any critical application or software or solution unless it's encrypted. And then where you base that data, I mean, for us, we use a third party because with that third party, and I guess I can plug SunGuard, we use SunGuard as the outsourcing co-server organization, and they have all our servers and they provide all the security. And that is critical. So you really have to focus on where those servers are going to reside, because you have to worry about backup, you have to worry about security, you have to worry about audits. For us, we have to worry about audits from the FDA, we have to worry about audits from our customers, because that's, again, the framework the FDA put down. But also, it's very good practice.
When I think of SunGuard, I think of finances for some reason. They must do a lot of finance work as well, is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting company. I mean, the facility we have, they used to make tanks back in World War II in Philly. It's an interesting organization. SunGuard was all about backup, tape backup.
That's why I think of it. Must be financial institutions. Yeah, they must trust them, huh?
The federal government for us, it's very easy to go in into an audit and say, well, we use SunGuard, and most companies out there have used them. Most government agencies use SunGuard. They use them for 20, 30, 40 years in terms of backup. So they already had the security. They already had the process and procedures. And then when we went to the internet, now they co-host servers.
Yeah. I was in a very large organization in town that's internationally known. And about 5 years ago, I walked in and they go out and they do accreditation for universities. And I said, well, how do you manage your evaluators? And then the receptionist pulled out a physical paper notebook and said, we have all our PhDs here. And she was rifling through them. And I said, well, do you think there's a better way to do it than paper-based? And this was 5 years ago. And so I think, you know, the paper-based to electronic leads was a transition in this world that was made a while back. But, you know, believe it or not, there are many listeners that this is big news for them. It's like, well, no, it can make that transition. It's effective.
Yeah. You know, and we had a conversation prior to this interview. And the fact is, it seems like it's old news to collect data on the internet. But it's not such old news. I mean, even today, believe it or not, the clinical trial business that we're very involved in, there's probably 30% still the data is filled out on paper, submitted in from where it's being collected into a central location, and then the data is entered. So even though with the advancements of the technology, like your iPad and your smartphones, it just takes some convincing. I mean, you can't change doctors and nurses and hospitals and folks that are used to using folders and entering the information into a folder and then getting them to use, say, an iPad. So it takes some convincing. It takes some really killer apps, and that's my business. So you have to be very innovative to change what's out there. So even though the technology exists, it takes work to innovate.
A lot of people are going to New Orleans this weekend to eat gumbo, but there are 40,000 people that are going down there for a HIMSS conference, and it's healthcare informatics. And guess what they're going to talk about? I mean, they're talking about you there, Tony. They're going to talk about data collecting in hospitals, because now there's all kinds of mobile medical devices. There's medical devices that people can wear. And what they're, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of programs at HIMSS this year on okay, so if someone has a heart condition, they're wearing a mobile medical device, guess what? They're collecting data on that.
Yep.
And it may not apply to a clinical study, it's a clinical trial, but it's going to apply to evaluating that. All of a sudden, your skill set, which is the hard-nosed, rock-solid, encrypt everything and incorporate that data because people's lives depend on it, it's going to be applied to so many other things and so many more. I mean, the advances in medical technology are stunning.
Yeah, and you're right on with that. I mean, this is our entire goal, and it's probably our goal for 21 years. It's getting the data as it's happening, getting the data in real time, getting it into a system. And why is that so crucial for our business? It's obviously if you're providing some dosage to a patient or a subject, and it depends on weight and depends on different things in terms of the dosage, you want to see right away whether it's valid.
We'll take a quick break here, talk more about clinical trials and data collection, some of the best practices from DSG. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Tony Varano. He's the CEO of a company called DSG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Varano. He's the CEO of a company called DSG. For more information, you can go to DSG-US.com. They're a company that spent the last 20 years very successfully working with large organizations, helping them collect data, primarily for clinical trials and working a lot with the FDA. But I think what many of my listeners realize is that many of them, they may work for the Department of Commerce, they may work for Interior, and their job is to collect data, and they're interested in what the best practices are and what tools are available. And because Tony comes from this very nuts and bolts, hard-edged world of clinical trials where everything's encrypted and life and death decisions are based on the information that's collected, that he's got some pretty, it's like talking to someone from the NFL. It's like, hey, I got my little peewee league here, and there's a guy from the NFL who's done the hard stuff. Well, Tony, tell me about the last 20 years. What lessons have you learned in general about data collecting and clinical trials, and how's your company adapted to some of these changes?
Yeah, and what I will say is we've been involved in collecting clinical data strictly with the pharmaceutical industry and medical device and anything submitting to the FDA. But of course, collecting clinical data on the internet or collecting any kind of data goes across many industries, but the pharmaceutical industries and medical device and biotechs have kept us very, very, very busy. And only if you do well. I mean, if you provide the right solutions and innovation, and you're listening to your customers. And as a company, I think we've done that for 21 years, and we get rewarded in the industry for doing that. But I know your audience, as you said, is collecting a lot of data for a lot of different agencies, and I'm sure what we're doing can be applied across many different ones. But we are kept very, very busy with this industry, and we know our core competency and that's in this industry. So yes, for 21 years, we've been involved with the pharmaceutical industries. Obviously, 21 years ago, we weren't collecting data on the internet.
Yep.
But in the late 90s, we went from a networking environment where you had data and you had to get into a system, and we provided a lot of solutions then. And then when it went to the internet, obviously, we wanted to get it out closer to the source. And that source is the subjects and the patients. These are the doctors and nurses out at hospitals conducting studies as investigators for the pharmaceutical industry. And they're interviewing those patients and those subjects. And at that time, and our goal and what we've done for the last 21 years, getting closer to the actual doctor, nurse, collecting the data, getting it into a system. So they get feedback immediately on that data as it's being entered in the system. And if anything, that's our objective. And that's probably anybody in the business collecting data, it's their objective. It's not so easy. You can't change people. You can't change environments. You can't change, if we get off talking about medical records, every hospital probably has a different flavor of medical record system. Every investigator, the mom and pops or the larger ones probably have a different system. And for us to integrate to those systems, it's been very difficult. But in the future, that's probably where this is going. But in any case, as a company, we've innovated, stayed very focused on what we know well is the pharmaceutical industry. And all our products and services kind of complement that industry.
It's interesting you have an office in Philadelphia as well as Japan and India. Why those areas?
Now, yeah, don't hold the Philadelphia thing against me. I grew up in Central PA, a coal town, and then went to college in Pennsylvania and ended up working in Bluebell, Pennsylvania for Unisys, and then built my company in Malvern, which is right outside Philly. And yes, for a guy, going to Marines, grew up in Shamokin, end up
a
having...
A humble guy, and now he's an international. It's true. I mean, let's face it,
offices
it's true.
Offices in Japan, and we just signed a pretty big deal with China. So Japan is moving they're moving very quickly in many different directions, but they're also moving quickly in drug discovery and taking Western drugs and getting them approved for their population. So we signed a nice big deal with China, and we agreed to be over there four times a year. So we're excited about that. And so we're already in Taiwan. We're in Japan. We have an office in Japan. We've been doing a lot of studies in Japan because you may not know our business, but if everybody has a regulatory group, Japan has their Ministry of Health. Obviously, we have our FDA. And in order for the drugs to be approved, even if they're approved in the U.S., they need to be approved in Japan, just like in the U.S. We, even though I feel the FDA is the best in the world and second to none, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious in our business. But the other agencies don't automatically approve the drug. And so that's kind of why we're spread out. But also, we're doing studies, and we're doing studies in kanji, Japanese local language, Chinese. So all the different languages.
It's just that, this isn't just, there are agencies that are listening here that are all over the world and have the same type of problems. I mean, Department of State's all over the world have interesting problems in collecting data and managing all that. And I think it's interesting that a humble Marine like you, who got out of high school and joined the Marines, can, after 25, 30 years, have a very successful company. And I think your story, you don't think your story is going to resonate with my listeners, but my listeners are going, yeah, I was in the Marines too. And now I went to college too, and I'm working for the federal government for HHS or something. And I think it's a real good story because a lot of your experience is going to reflect on what my listeners do. So I think it's great. It's a great story.
I guess it's great. And do I believe it half the time? No. But, and I think that has to keep me going because every day, it's the old saying, you can dream about a business and try to create the dream, or you can create the business and then you're in the dream. And I've just created the business. I may be in the dream, but for me, every day I wake up, it's business. I have to innovate and stay in business. And then, as it grows, you have more responsibilities. You have more people to worry about. We've never been in the business for 21 years. We never had to lay anybody off. Not once. We've always had more business every year than we had the previous year.
Look at a 20% clip though. Pretty good clip, huh?
We've been pretty good. And again, it's innovating and doing well in your industry, and you're rewarded in this industry. And obviously you have our core business has always been the data collection, but it's in a clinical trial business. So we have data management, and data management is making sure the data in there, and they're reviewing the data on a constant basis and communicating back and forth to the people that are out there collecting the data or responsible for the data. So we have a clinical trial management service software. And basically what that's doing is encompasses all the processes, going out there and making sure a site abides by the framework or procedures that the FDA puts down. So the folks going out there and doing the investigation or the audit have a tool to enter all that information in. So all our systems kind of complement the clinical trial business. But I would have to say that the dog is our collecting the data, making sure that the data, the integrity of the data is so key to us, and then reporting back to whoever needs reports on the data, and then finally getting it ready for submission, getting it ready for the statisticians to put it as part of the package, reporting for the FDA.
And the standards, do the FDA designs those standards, or the FDA just works with other organizations to define these? Where do these standards come from?
Well, obviously, the FDA has the framework of the standards, and they will list those standards for us, and we have to learn them. In terms of even the system that we provide, there's a framework in terms of the type of security, the password functionality, different features and functionality. We call it queries or audit trail in the system. It's very, I would say the FDA does an excellent job. It's relatively specific, but it's general in the same sense. So you must follow those guidelines, and the folks we do business for, our customers, they'll come in and audit us and make sure that we're abiding by those standards. So they'll look at our system, they'll look at our documentation, they'll look at our software validation, and they'll go through all this documentation and make absolutely sure that we're following our own SOPs. So yeah, it's all part of the process.
When we take a break, we come back and talk more about your company. And what I've kind of figured out with your company is that over the years, maybe after 5 or 6 years, you've decided to design products rather than just do services. And these products replicate a lot of the similar type activities. And it just affords you to provide services less expensive than you could before. So talk more about some of the products that you have here. I think for data capture, for clinical trial management systems, and how that can be an advantage for some of my listeners and help them save money when their project's involved in any clinical trials. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more with Tony Verano, CEO of DSG. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Verano. He's the CEO of a company called DSG. More information at dsg-us.com. They're a company that works in clinical trials. And there's some of my listeners who know more about clinical trials than Tony. And there are other listeners that, clinical trials, what's that? You go to different clinics and try them out? Or they don't really know what it is. Maybe we can define these terms and talk about what data collection is involved in this and how it can be a benefit to some of our listeners who are involved in similar type projects, Tony. So what is a clinical trial anyway?
Yeah, and I would agree with you, John. There's probably a lot of people that know more about the whole clinical trial process than I do. I mean, you get pigeonholed, as we do. We provide a service, and we think we're pretty good at it. But there's so much more to a clinical trial. And what I'll say to most people, which most people don't realize, a clinical trial is really just taking an investigational drug and experiment testing it on subjects and patients. I mean, that's really what defines a clinical trial. Prior to that, before it gets to us, healthy patients or subjects or actual patients that are sick, before it gets to that point, it's preclinical. It's the drug safety. It's pretty much animal testing, being sure that the drug is safe.
Is that non-clinical? Is that what it is? The area called?
It's called preclinical.
Okay.
It's also been called drug safety. Mm-hmm. So it's many, many, many years by dedicated people, and for us and for the audience, a lot of people may not realize this, but there's people out there very passionate about the compound or drug, and they may spend their whole life working with a particular compound. Day in and day out, working in the lab, and then finally it gets to a point where they see some promise and move that drug along, and then it gets into a phase for a particular disease, then it gets into a phase of drug safety. Preclinical, that's the use on animal to be sure it's safe before it gets to the next stage, which is the clinical trial process. And then that's basically where we take over. We get a written protocol from, say, a pharmaceutical company on what they want to look for in this study, and then we build the study. We build it with our software, our tool, and basically what we're building is, and it could be 8-10 screens, or it could be 1,000 screens with a span of maybe 5 years of collecting data. So it can get very complex, and the data can get very complex, and that all really depends on the type of disease. And you can look at a disease or something that six months will give a decent indication and get good information, good data, or you may have to go out 5 years. And then depending on that will vary on the cost of a clinical study. And that's a very interesting topic, and the cost of clinical trial or the R&D investment that most listeners, John, don't know about. I mean, I think Forbes did recently it was in Forbes, the average research and development for one approved drug, what is spent
is millions, I'm guessing.
$4 billion
with a B.
B.
Wow.
$4 billion. There are and of this list that I have, there's one company on here in 12 years only had 5 drugs approved. And they per drug, they spent $11.7 billion.
Incredible. Yeah.
That is incredible. Now we don't see our business. Obviously, we're not getting anything close to that. But in a data capture business that we're in, you know, a clinical study may vary for our piece of it. And again, a clinical study, there may be 10 moving parts to this. We handle maybe 4. And our piece is a fraction, a very small fraction of the billions of dollars spent. A big study going on for years may the most with all the data management and all the services we provide may be upwards of $1 million for that period of time. But the overall clinical study budget may be $110 million.
And so there are government agencies that do this. There's pharmaceutical companies that do this. There's biotechnology companies that do this, medical device companies. It's generally in the life sciences area. Is that typically where it's applied?
For us, yeah, primarily. Any company that needs to submit to the FDA and have the integrity of the data in the format, and they want an approval on either a device or a drug. A company here local, we spent probably 7 years with, and finally their drug for lupus was approved, and that's HGS here in the Washington area. So but that company started probably back 1993 or so. So they finally got a drug approved after that many years. That's sort of business we're in. And when we have some time, we're probably going to talk about the clinical trial process and some efficiencies that can be had out there. And I'd love to share that with your audience.
One question my audience may have is the type of technology that's used. Now, we know you have a background at Unisys. Does that mean that everything you do runs on Unisys now or Java or .NET? What kind of technology do you use and why did you select it?
Yeah. Well, we've always been a Microsoft shop. So even back in the day with internet servers, where I know there were a lot of Unix servers using Java, we've always used Microsoft. Our .NET framework, I think it's 3.5 or 4.0 or whatever it is today. I don't really, I'm not that close to it, but I know our environment is. Our tools that we build, I mean, we just recently built a great tool that our customers can now build their own studies, and we sell, this tool to them, and they'll build their own studies. Of course, we have our tool. We, as a service, we provide that service. We get the protocol from our companies, and we build the tool. We build the study using our tool. But our tool now can be ported to Microsoft. It's compatible with Windows 8 and a whole bit. But for us, again, we're always innovating, and we're looking at the iOS, the iPad solution, because of course, as the use of the technology out there, people are going to get used to it. Very easy to use. We have to build the app so people can walk around with it, enter the data as they're collecting it right into the iPad, which immediately would go into our servers. And again, when the data is entered into a tool like this, they're going to get feedback immediately. And that's the critical nature of what we do. That's what our focus is stay focused on getting the data from the source at that point in time so we can get feedback to the person who's entering it at that instant.
I was at your website this morning, dsg-us.com, and they talked about case management, non-demand case management. Is that separate from clinical trials? What exactly is case management?
Well, yeah, clinical trial management and those sort of things. There's a lot of systems that we provide, a lot of products that we provide that supplement the clinical trial business. Everything we do, all our products are associated with clinical trial. Mm-hmm. Our dog, I would say, in a tail, in a lot of ways, are the other systems, like in our IWRS. That's a drug management and supply system. So that goes hand in hand with the clinical trial business. As a patient is going in for their visit with dosage and supply, it's integrated with a new product of ours, or it's been new for the last 3 years, but we keep innovating. It's integrated with the drug supply and management, so they're completely integrated, and they've all been built on the same framework or platform as DSG's EDC product, eCaseLink.
And so, what does CaseLink do?
Well, eCaseLink is our core product, and that's what we use to build our clinical studies for the data capture, building the screens, building the edits, building all the validations, having all the appropriate reports, which there's probably anywhere from 50 to 100 different reports. And depending on the disease, there may be certain reports that our customers need to see. And then immediately at any point, real time, they can spit out SAS. We call them SAS data sets. It's really just the data in a particular format ready for statisticians to use so they can then do their crunching and look at the data. So everything encompassing data capture is eCaseLink.
And so the reason, I mean, obviously you had experience with Unisys, and the reason you chose Microsoft, because it's popular, because it's secure, because it's safe, and you stuck with Microsoft over the years without varying. Is there any benefit to using Microsoft?
Well, first of all, they do a great job and great platform for engineers, and they still have over 90% of business computers or even higher are using the Microsoft operating system, and so our servers are Microsoft. So we just stayed with one platform. We thought it was best.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about your personal technology choices, talk about the future of clinical trials and data collecting, and maybe we can give our listeners some best practices for how they can accomplish some of these very difficult tasks. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we were speaking with Tony Verano. He's the CEO of a company called DSG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Verano. He's the CEO of a company called DSG. More information, you can go to dsg-us.com. They work with organizations all over the world to help them with clinical trials. And the reason we have Tony in is to give our listeners a different taste of what's going on in the area of data collecting and clinical trials and what are the best practices and what are some of the challenges he has. And I think it's very interesting that he's an ex-Marine who started a company. He's very successful. It's a very complicated area. I think a lot of my listeners can benefit from his experience and his background. There are some listeners who read blogs, and I'll be blogging about this. You can go to Google and type in John Gilroy blog and get my blog. If you want to follow us on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @RayGilray. I'm sure there's clinical trial handles you can follow and learn stuff on the Twitter world or the Twitterverse, as they call it. What I have to do now, Tony, is every one of my guests are subjected to the nerd test, True Nerdometer. We'll find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. I'll give you 10 questions, and we have a UNIVAC computer, by the way, I use, has all the results. So what was the year you bought your first computer? You got to be honest on this one.
At working at Unisys, we were still on a mainframe for a long time and programming on a mainframe. So, I went out and got my computer. I didn't do a whole lot with it, I don't think, but probably in the 80s somewhere. I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Mid 80s, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And first cell phone?
As I started my company, I was in 92, 91, I had whatever it was. It would look like a big, army walkie-talkie. Yes.
91. Back. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. A long time ago.
And you had
I probably fried my brain with that. as we probably know, they were probably dangerous with all the radiation they were putting out, but go ahead.
And you don't have a Twitter feed, I don't think, do you? No Twitter feed?
A personal, yeah, Twitter feed. I guess I'm not passing your nerd test here, but
I do
have one because somebody set it up for me in 2009, and I know they tweeted or Twittered or whatever that you call it a few things, but it wasn't me. And I read it, and I'm like, that isn't me. So I haven't used it. I set it up in 2009, but I haven't used it. But DSG has its
Twitter feed. Great.
DSG EDC.
And do you have a blog?
No,
or blog?
We don't have a blog.
No problem. That'll come, I'm sure. And do you use any personal online backup?
You know, virtually internet. No, I don't do any of that. But absolutely, positively, I back my stuff up. I mean, believe me, in this world.
I hope so.
Yes. So especially in the business.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never back up too many times, and we back up plenty.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone, iOS.
5 years ago, I was asked if they had a smartphone. I had to change that to what type because everyone's got them.
Yeah.
Number of apps you have on your iPhone?
Yeah, you know. What am I going to show my age here? I don't know. Not a lot.
You're not showing your age. I have none on mine. I mean,
I don't care. I have all the essentials.
But my listeners are wondering, well, how, you know.
I have all the essentials, you know, Shazam and, you know, the GPS, WASI, and yeah.
You can't fail this. I
probably, and all the
this
good
is
news.
Just a,
news
this is a, what's
Facebook,
your favorite color test?
Probably about 50. Yeah. Probably about 50.
What kind of tablet device do you have?
I have a few of the iPads. I keep getting the newest one, but I still only use the oldest one.
That's a good sign. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
Yeah, LinkedIn, sort of. But, you know, everybody's on Facebook, and I'm definitely on Facebook. Yeah. You know, I'll admit I only have 149 friends. So, so John, if you want to be 150,
no,
that's
about 140 more than I have.
Really?
And, yeah. The last book read was electronic or paper?
You know, did I buy it in paper? And also, I always buy an iPad if they're available. iPad, and if not, I use the paper. But okay, Physics of the Future.
And it was electronic or paper, though?
I think it was both.
It was both,
or maybe as a gift I bought the paper, but I definitely, you know, you get on the bike, use your iPad and read a book. I've never read so many books. Well, I didn't read any until I got the iPad. Now I've read a bunch.
Well, you have a bachelor's degree. You have to read something in your life,
well, okay.
I would think. Even
school
a math
books.
Major has
yes.
to read something like that.
And the Wall Street Journal, if you want. Oh, not newspaper, just
yeah.
books.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan, and the team that has got challenges here to get back to where they were. If you look at different football teams, they have challenges to get to where they were, where they want to go. In the world of clinical trials, there's all challenges and problems and issues. Maybe for our listeners' benefit, you can talk about what kind of challenges the business in general faces and where you see it head the next couple of years and where maybe your company fits in.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And we sort of touched on it, and we didn't expand on that, though, or earlier when I was talking about the cost to do R&D. Now, again, you know, my company is really focused in the clinical trial piece, and there's a whole lot more that goes on prior to that. But in my world, in a clinical trial space, and what we do and what we see, and believe me, what we see, you know, would boggle the listeners' minds of how it's currently being done. And when I see it, I just can't believe it. And we keep innovating and try to come up with different solutions. And I'll give an example. The one example I did give. Now, most clinical trial budgets aren't $112 million. I would say that's probably a fairly large, one of the largest studies we ever participated in, partnered with another customer or with another partner. That whole budget was $112 million. Our piece that we bid was maybe $750,000. And then there was different pieces the other partners had to do, like data management, over a five-year period, worldwide study, tens of thousands of subjects, patients. And their piece was maybe $5 million and $6 million. But the biggest piece, $105 million of $112 million budget for a clinical trial, was in monitoring. And what do they do? How is that defined? You know, how do we do that business today in terms of monitoring? Well, you have highly professional individuals out there doing monitoring of the sites. They initiate the site. They go out there and make sure that the site conforms with all the procedures and framework that the FDA guideline has.
So this is a human being gets on a plane and flies to Kansas City
absolutely.
And gets a piece of paper.
And that's probably, that's a necessary visit. But then there's many visits through the five-year study. They're going to be out there to ensure that the data entered on the screen was what was in the patient's folder. So they're verifying the data. So they go out there and they have a pile of the patient's folders, and then screen by screen using our system, they'll go in and say, okay, you entered this blood pressure point of 80 or 110. And then they look at the folder and they see the visit and the date and they say, that matches. They check it and say it matches to what's in the folder. That's what they do. That's probably the lion's share of that business. Now, to get to the site, they have to fly out there. They're staying overnight in a lot of cases. So there's hotel, there's cost of hourly getting there and from getting to the hotel to the business. So a lot of that money, $105 million of that money is flying, is meals, hotel costs, is hourly wages looking at that data. Now, years ago, 5 years ago, even with our one customer here and a number of them, we provided solutions. We looked at it virtually. How can you scan some of that data and do this remotely and look at that folder? You know, but you know, if we went back to the source and there was no source except for the screen, entering the data as the screen, if the physician or nurse had that iPad in their hand, entered the data in the iPad, that became the source, you would eliminate 80% of those visits. You would eliminate, you can possibly eliminate $50 million of $105 million of one study. You can have 2-3 times more clinical studies with that sort of savings. So we're moving in that direction, and I can assure you, you know, it's 2013, and only a fraction are entering the source at the point they collect it, say on an electronic device. But 5 years from now, John, when you interview me again, I assure you that we would have cut down on that inefficiencies. Now, are there some reasons why people out there are probably wondering? Yeah, well, we have the concern about the patient's privacy. We haven't really tackled or resolved that issue. What happens if you scan that information, you have privacy issues or patient's information on that folder? You know, so that's why getting the information entered into an iPad at the time it's collected, not putting it into a folder, the patient's folder, as the doctor or nurse is taking the information and then re-entering the data onto a screen via the internet, you know, eliminating that would eliminate the issue of patient privacy. But even with patient privacy, there's ways to tackle that issue and innovate around it.
Yeah, and the healthcare world is called mHealth, mobile health. It's a whole phrase, and it's called mHealth. And people are trending and talking about it. And I'm sure at the HIMSS conference, they're talking about exactly that right now. And they realize that savings can be achieved. And if you go up to Capitol Hill before you leave today, you'll find out that people are pounding on tables, screaming about cost reduction. And you hit a $1 million one right here in the interview.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about the PC and my first PC. Which didn't do a lot with, and a lot of people didn't do a lot with their first PCs. And why? There wasn't a killer app out there. Just like the smartphones, what do? They play games. I mean, that's how all those came. More games are played than real solutions, innovating solutions. But the real innovating solutions, killer apps will be out there soon.
Soon, that's great. And I'm sure DSTU will be in the forefront with coming up with some of those killer apps for clinical trials. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tony Verano, CEO of a company called DSG. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.